It's HBR, All Things Considered, and I'm Dave Lawrence. State getting two classic rock legends on tour starting tomorrow. Rick Derringer, who wrote Rock and Roll Hoochie Coo, Edgar Winter, who you know from Free Ride, Frankenstein. And we're really excited to welcome Rick Derringer to the show right now. Hey, Rick, thank you so much for doing this.
How you doing, Dave?
Aloha, brother. Thanks for doing this today, Rick.
Well, it's always enjoyable. Thank you.
You are welcome. And Steve, the mystery emailer, told me of an early gig of yours in Hawaii. And see if this was something you remembered. Maybe not, but it was August 29th and 30th, 1976. You played the Blaisdell Arena with Aerosmith.
Well, you know what? I opened for Aerosmith quite a bit for a couple years there. And I vaguely remember... Somebody was asking me earlier today if I remember playing in Hawaii before. I remember traveling there many times, but I don't have much memory of real concerts there. So that must be one of them for real, though. Did I play there also with Ringo Starr?
I don't think you did play with Ringo. I think Ringo came in the fall of 16. You were not in the band then.
Nope. I was a couple years before that.
Yep, because I saw you in Radio City, brother, that night that Paul got up there with you guys and did Birthday.
Yeah, that was totally cool.
Certainly was. This new tour, you're going to be sharing the bill with a cat who has been part of your life for longer than a lot of us have even been alive. Explain what's in store.
Both bands are going to be there. My band, as well as Edgar's, will both play shows with our bands. And then ultimately, we all get up and play a little bit together toward the end. Edgar and everybody.
Kind of like that all-star jam at the end of the Ringo shows, huh? They'd bring all kinds of people out at those things.
Yeah, you never know sometimes.
Right. When I was dialing in on the guitar style that you have, that's one of the things, the sound of your guitar going back decades, and it made me wonder, before you started the Rick Z combo as a kid, later Rick and the Raiders, how did you first get exposed to music and decide you wanted to pick up the guitar?
You know, for people that have only heard recordings and have never heard the guitar actually played right next to them, they wouldn't necessarily know what I'm talking about, but it really has an impact. Music, live music, not a band necessarily, but somebody sitting beside you playing has an impact. It's a separate language. The greatest thing about it, and what I realized right away, was people can know another language and speak it, but that means they can also lie in that language.
Hmm.
What I like about music is you can't lie. And that's what you hear when you hear it first time right next to you. It affects you because it is a language that goes from one person's heart straight to the other person's heart. Other people will like it or they won't like it. And that's the challenge that we face every time we do a live performance. And that's the challenge I love, is being able to communicate the honest feelings from my heart to those people in the audience. And that's what affected me and made me want to play guitar.
And were people playing it in your household that you were able to hear it? Was it because of your brother?
Well, actually, the first time my uncle played guitar, he brought a guitar and a little amplifier and set it up in my kitchen when I was probably about 7 years old.
Wow.
He played a little bit, and I just remember being affected enough that I told my parents I want to play the guitar. And they went ahead and got me one for my 90th birthday.
That's a great point. Sound, it's a vibration. It's coming at you. And it is very different than, let's say, you have a little transistor radio and you're maybe hearing a complete song versus sitting right next to an instrument. It could be any instrument.
Yeah, and also on recordings, they can be played with. People can get in there and they can edit recordings, and they can, nowadays especially, they can change all kinds of parameters. But live music, and especially, like I said, somebody actually sitting in your house playing music, that's the one. It's not altered in any way. It can't be altered in any way. And you really feel the person's heart. Their heart is different than their mind.
There's no question. Very different. Remember Carlos Santana explaining that to me. And when you talk about that sound of the guitar, similarly, and you hear about cats, you know, they'll be in the shower and maybe they'll be singing along to something and they'll say, man, I like the sound of that. Or modern day folks, maybe it's the karaoke and they'll discover they like to sing. When did you find you enjoyed doing it, or that it pleased other people too?
Both immediately. I started playing, and my uncle, first night I had my guitar, he showed me some songs, and the amazing part that people don't believe is I learned them immediately. The next day, I was playing those whole songs, and I had to go out and find another guitarist in my local town there, a little bitty town in Ohio, found another guy that played, and he showed me something else. And the next thing you know, within days, I was playing the 6 or 7 songs. And I went to a local place where my uncle was playing, and I got up and jammed with him, played those songs, and they passed the hat around the room, and I made $43. And in, we're talking 1957 or 1956, $43 was a lot of money.
Absolutely, brother.
And so I not only knew that I enjoyed doing it and I saw the people liking it, but I also felt the rewards that come, and I was hooked. I said, this is it, man. This is, what else is there?
And at such a young age, too, to have that kind of reassuring, confidence-building, I guess you could say, experience happen to you. And I mean, do you happen to remember what kind of guitar that first one was?
The first one was probably a Harmony, one of the first cheap electric guitars. But within a couple months, I was good enough that my dad said, hey, man, we can get you a little better guitar than that. So I ended up getting Supro, S-U-P-R-O. I had a Supro 3 pickup, and I used that for a while. Oh, I had a Gretsch in there, too. And then I got a Gibson after that. And I've played pretty much Gibson-style guitars ever since. I designed and played some guitars for B.C. Rich back in the days when I was opening for Aerosmith, for instance. And in the last 20 years, I've been playing guitars called Warrior, W-A-R-R-I-O-R, Warrior Guitars. And they're a handmade guitar made in Georgia, right here in the good old USA. And even that Supro I started out with, it's been reissued because people like it that much.
Kind of like the muscle car craze now, huh? The way they've got all those challengers.
Yeah, it is like that.
You said something really interesting about your pop realizing, your dad kind of appraising, you know what? You've stepped up. We got to get you a better guitar. And there you are. You're a young man. You're a kid, basically. You've learned how to play. You're singing, as you've explained to us. Had you recorded anything else before you got the chance to famously sing the vocals on Hang On Sloopy?
Yeah, as the McCoys, actually then we changed our name, as you saw, to Rick Z Combo, and then we changed our name again to Rick and the Raiders before we went back to the McCoys. But sometime during that Rick and the Raiders period, my mom actually encouraged me to write. She said, you should write some songs. So I wrote a couple songs, and one of them we recorded. We just released it on our own little label in Ohio, and the band was Rick and the Raiders. And the song was called I Know That I Love You. The next thing you know, the Strange Loves showed up, and they were the ones that suggested, hey, you guys, you should do this song, Hang On Sloopy.
Rock and Roll Hoochie Coo, it's an enduring phenomenon. It's something that probably still you're extraordinarily grateful for because it's such a huge facet of radio today and in so many people's lives and in movies.
Rock and Roll Hoochie Coo is basically a story of experiences that I had while I was just starting to play a lot of live concerts. They're all little ideas and things that I remembered from that time period. The old town hall was a place where they used to have concerts, and I talk a little bit about my girlfriends. And so this story is kind of a timeless story, and it doesn't have any specific meaning, which makes it pretty cool, too. But I can say it's been a very influential song in my life. It's been recorded by on 3 or 4 albums before I even did my version on All American Boy. But we will do it when we see you guys.
We're looking forward to it. It's Rick Derringer playing alongside Edgar Winter. Statewide tour starts tomorrow in Honolulu at Hawaiian Brian's before hitting Maui, Kauai, and Hawaii Island. Appreciate you being on, and I hope you had fun today, brother.
Thank you very much. I did. You were great. Thank you. Hi, everybody. This is Rick Derringer, and y'all are rock and roll hoochie cooing with my friend Dave Lawrence.